Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name. And you know, it's a cloudy and rainy morning. We've not had so very many of those. But you know, if you'd get in a helicopter, an airplane, and just go straight up about 500 or 1,000 feet, it'd be a perfectly clear, sunny day. That's a reality as well. First day of the week, we've gathered together. This is the church. It's the body of Christ. And I was pondering this week what I should preach on, and I was impressed with this thought, and I went pursuing it. And I'd like to share. I think the sermon title is on the board. The points are on the board. Two gates, two roads, two destinations, your choice. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're actually going to just pretty much spend our time here in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is where the text is found that we intend to start from, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Maybe I'll just get to the burden of the message, or what my intent is, and that is to somehow help to sort out the gray soup that this world would like to make concerning all of this. And so I think that's a very real challenge in all of our lives. It's a real challenge for our young people. It's a real challenge for those of us who are right here in the middle of life, and we're looking at life and wondering what all we're going to actually receive from it yet, or where that tipping point is, and where we start to slide away from our peak usefulness and all of that. And then, of course, I don't even know if I should say old ones, because Brother Phil's here. So that's our oldest. There you go. For a moment, I was thinking, well, Tim Stauffer's not here, but Brother Phil. And just by sheer numbers, Brother Phil, you're the furthest down that road. Except that none of us know when we're going to be called. So we don't know that. But just from a very natural sort of looking at it from this perspective of life. And so we're on this spectrum somewhere. But our world is very intent. And of course, bring in the enemy of our souls, bring in the demonic powers, bring in the powers, yes, the powers of darkness, maybe is a term I was looking for. Bring in all of those things, and it's very intentional and very intent on blurring the choices that are here, blurring these realities. And so we're going to go, actually just look at verse 29 of 28 and 29 of chapter 7. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So this is the basis. These are the words of God himself in the flesh. These two verses, the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, in particular, as he sort of brings together this teaching, sort of brings it to a focal point. He said, well, really, it's like this. There's two gates. There's two roads. There are two destinations. You get to choose. And he is the one who had authority. People sat back and they were amazed at what they heard. Why? I don't know why. I wasn't there to hear it, but I accept what those witnesses had to say. This man had authority on the subject because he spoke from complete knowledge. He spoke with being completely convinced, and he spoke as only a perfect man can. And so those things set him apart from everyone, including me, every one of us. Even though this morning I'd like to try to pick up this subject and We're going to look at the authority of the man who said it. We're going to recognize who he is, what he is about. And so that's important. Jesus is speaking here in chapter 5, 6, and 7, bringing us this great sermon. It's the Sermon on the Mount, we call it. And this sermon is practical. How we are to live. What spirit we must have within us. What choices we must make. And how we will treat this world and others. And again, as I mentioned, these verses here in verses 13 and 14 come nearly at the end of the sermon. And it seems to me like there's a little bit of a summary going on here in Jesus' message. He's summing it up in a question. What road will you choose? Is it going to be the narrow or is it going to be the broad? The narrow or the broad? We've heard the words used before. We've seen the drawings. Maybe you've read Pilgrim's Progress, but Pilgrim's Progress is built on this very teaching. And maybe we'd do well to dust off that book. Seek it out if we don't have it. I remember reading it as a young person. As they traveled through the journey of life, as that allegory depicts it. Well, Jesus said, first of all, here in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. So we're talking about gates. You know, we don't go through too many gates. There's not really any farmers here, so we don't do that much with gates. If you were a farmer, you might have moved a number of gates already this morning. Our driveways, in this culture that we live in, we don't have gates around our little property. We don't have a front gate off the sidewalk. Even in our cities here, we don't do that much. Those of you who live here in city, I guess Brother Logan, you do. So there's a few who know something about that. The groceries need to come through the front gate. Well, you've got the back wall. But. So it's very much about a place of entrance. It's about, well, what's it about? It's the definition of the word from the concordance is obstacles standing close about. Well, that's actually for the word narrow. But that's the point of a gate. A gate is almost always about, it was interesting, I drove through earlier this week, Thanksgiving Day, we just went out for a little drive from my parents' place out into the state forest there. And we came through a gate, and I was intrigued by how do you create a gate that works in a state forest? Well, you place it right where there's a ditch, a deep ditch, and otherwise you'd have to have trees at the right place to actually create a barrier. But they chose the spot where there was a ditch, and they were able to create a barrier with the gate. They used the gate, you couldn't get around it. That's the point. The point is it narrows, it chokes, it causes you to turn into a particular spot. Two gates. You see them here in verses 13 and 14. And the first gate that is talked about is the straight gate, which is the narrow gate. Straight, enter ye in, Jesus says, at the straight gate. And then he switches. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. So Jesus was sitting there talking about something that the countryside around him knew about. There was broad roads, and there was the narrow roads. There was the pathways that went cut back across the countryside, and then there was the big roads that would have handled the horses, maybe the Roman roads, the chariots, those kinds of things. So those pictures were very much in their minds. And Jesus said, that's one. It's that the road that has the embankments. It maybe even have some kind of pavers, and you can get somewhere on that road. That's a broad road. Many people are flowing into it. But then there's this narrow road, and that is the one that we're to choose. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Narrow means that there's obstacles close about it. So this narrow gate is small. There is restrictions, I guess is the word that you could use. Obstacles, it says. And what are some of those? Turn with me back a couple of chapters to chapter 4. So Jesus had his experience there with Satan. He was victorious over that, and he left that scene. And it says shortly thereafter, the people which sat in darkness, in verse 16, saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, words in red, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's an obstacle. There is the narrowing of the road. This road of life, this gate, the restrictions of it, number one is repentance. This morning, I'm not bringing something brand new here at all, but I would like us to be just pondering and thinking about recognizing the authority of Jesus Christ and and help us to clear up the clutter and the blur of what it is, how it is, that this morning you and I can enter onto a road and be headed towards a place of eternal bliss and not eternal punishment. And so Jesus is saying here, repent. That's part of this narrow gate. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent means to turn from sin, Webster says, and dedicate oneself to amendment of life. It says, further, to feel regret or contrition. If we're a Christian here this morning, we should know something about regret and contrition in our lives. And knowing that feeling, recognizing it, understanding why we should have that, and of course, repenting to turn away from sin, dedicate oneself to amendment. That's a choice. It's a choice. It's part of the narrow road. Jesus also said right here in verse 19, follow me. Now he said that to Simon, but that is also the words of Christ. He continues to say, follow me. That is one of the obstacles. Entrance into this gate is saying, follow me. And that's what Jesus was doing here in this teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. This was about him bringing a clear message of the kingdom to the people. This is what's required. This is what it takes. Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And also in John 10:9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Salvation, eternal life, is by no other but by Jesus Christ. And so that is God's message to us this morning. Let's get that clear in our mind. There is no other way into this road and through this gate, onto this narrow road, but by Jesus Christ. That is narrowing. That's an obstacle. It separates a whole lot of chaff. Those are the words of Jesus. That's the word of God to us. And so that is this narrow road. And so, yes, it does sound intentionally difficult. It sounds restrictive. It sounds qualifying. And that's exactly what it is. That is the narrow gate. Well, the wide gate. We've already talked about it just briefly, but wide is spread out. It's flat. There's a lot of reason why you would go there. There's a lot of reasons why I would go there. The natural flow of who we are would naturally just carry us that way. That is the way we would naturally go. That's where the excitement's at. That's where the glitter and glamour is at. That's where the present seems to be happening. That's where it's at. That's where the present seems to be happening. I want it now. I want to experience it now. That is the broad road. The broad road seems so full of life at first glance, but the dark underbelly is soon experienced. But the allure of what can be experienced around the corner is very real. Hence the appeal of the broad road. And that is something that none of us are exempt from here in this life. I mean, if you, again, go back to the allegory, I didn't brush up on it, but as my memories are, there was ways in which you could get deviated off the narrow path, and there was times when the broad road was very close, and you could just slip through, and it looked like they went side by side for quite a ways, and then suddenly you'd realize that there was a slough between us that you couldn't get back over. And those kinds of things are the very real challenges of the life of the Christian. But the broad road is appealing. It's one that is distracting, isn't a distraction to all of us, and is distracting many. It's wide, but Jesus says that it leads to destruction. Well, that's the point that we'll get to here shortly. This is a real temptation to all of us, and we hardly know how to sort it out because Christianity around us seems like they're not separating these two roads very well. And you hardly know what to do with it. I was at Staples about a week ago on a Saturday evening getting some things printed for TESOL, and I was talking, there was an older gentleman there, and he was getting things ready for Sunday school and a host of different things. And so I asked him, I said, what is it that you're getting ready there? And we looked at a book. He was getting a page photocopied out of it and so on and so forth. A kind old gentleman. We had an interesting conversation. He's a pastor. We talked for just a little bit, and then somebody came up to help me, so I moved over to another station there, and we began to work on my project. But I was listening to him, and after he was done talking to me, which we talked briefly about spiritual things, his focus in conversation with the gentleman behind the counter that he knew, seemed like he was a regular there, was all about football. It was all about the last game at Penn State. It was about particular players. It was about... And I was let down, and I stood there and listened to that, and I don't know what to do with all of that, except that I think it matters. I just don't see... You see, that is the conundrum that we find ourselves in, because we're in a world like that, where it has just taken all of this things and just blended it together. There's no question but that the NFL and college football, however you want to stack it up, is part of the broad way. It's where the money's at. It's where the fame's at. And most everything that is entangled with it is ungodly. And so we might as well just place it where it is. Now, what an individual and how that may affect them, I can't sort all of that out. But I will say, I really wished, because as I was tangled up with my things, he left. I would have loved to have had a conversation with that older gentleman, a man of the book, and ask him, how do you put these two together? I would have liked to have heard him defend and explain that to me, because it seemed to be difficult for me to understand it. But that is the place that we're in today as Christians. There's no end to that world. And let's move on, because we're going to look at the roads. We're going to talk about the roads. We're talking about the gates. Let's talk about the roads. We've already built into that some, but let's talk about the roads. The differences in lives that occupy these two roads. We're talking about a place where people are at, where they are traveling through life. That's the picture. That's the parable. That's the reality that's being painted here. And so Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, was explaining what all that is. It's not like it's unclear. We're not certain. But he started with the Beatitudes. And so the people who are on this road, the people who are on the narrow road, the one that has eternal life on the end of it, they're the people who are poor in spirit. They're the people who are humble. They're not proud, prideful, as it can be said. There's a difference. They're humble, poor in spirit. They're meek. They're gentle. and they know how to entreat one another. And sure, we fall short on that from time to time, but that's who those people are. That is their guide. That's their commitment. That's their goal. That's their choice. And those on the broad road, it's so opposite. They care a lot about what people think about them. It's important that they're recognized for who they are. And there it is. That's the drive. And it changes everything. That's where the clothes and the jewelry and the cars and the right toys, it's where it all comes in. It's exactly what Jesus was talking about. That is the broad road. That's what's going to make you happy today. It's what gets you that little bit of recognition today. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So the Beatitudes, as you see them here, the merciful, the pure, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So those Beatitudes, those attitudes, those spirit, those realities of the spirit of those who travel the narrow road instead of the selfish attitudes of those who are on the broad road. That's the difference. You see more. You see the salt and light. Salt and light, verse 13 and verse 14. Instead of, well, what do you compare against salt? I can compare something against light, and that's darkness. So people who have a, rather than light being shed into their hearts by God, by the beauty and holiness of God, by the realities of Him being the Creator, by the truth that we are eternal beings and will be held in account by Him, by the truth that He has given us His Son, all of those things shed light. They change us. They make us who we are. Those are the people of the narrow road. The opposite of that is the darkness. And so they're captivated by everything that's opposite to what I just described. So it's darkness. It's often it ends up being it's you end up with the abuses of alcohol, with the abuses of the prescription drugs, with the abuses of sexuality, with the abuses of, and just the list goes on and on. And so it becomes, all of those things are the opposite of light and salt, which is a preservative, which is a positive thing. This morning, so we want salt on those eggs, you know. We like its taste. That's the natural side of salt. And then, of course, the spiritual side is all the things we've just been talking about. Salt and light instead of sugar and darkness. We don't really need sugar, do we? But we like the little spike we get from it. But that's just indicative of how fleshly the broad road is. Well, verse 20 talks about righteousness. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so there again, we're talking about this road that we're on. We're talking about life, and we're talking about righteousness that's real, not external only. And again, that's what Jesus was talking about. There was a group of people who were able to paint a picture on the outside. The words were good, but Jesus was saying, I want it from our hearts, from our inside out. And so God help us with that. That's the people of the narrow road, where it's entered into our hearts and it's changed us from the inside out. And then, of course, Jesus, again, more descriptions of what's on the narrow road. He talks about the commandments. And I have down the expanded commandments. This thing of anger, verse 22, verse 21, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever shall say unto his brother Rekha shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Jesus is talking, he brought up destinations here. And he is expanding on the people of the narrow road. There are going to be people who are recognizing and are wrestling with the spirit sins, not just the outward where we would actually kill someone, but rather we're wrestling with it inside. That's people, the narrow road. That is, and again, we can go on with that. Committing adultery, verse 27. And here in verse 28, looking on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. And so again, Jesus is lifting up this road, these roads, and what that looks like, and how the people on that road are, where they're going to be wrestling. It's not just in the act, but it's wrestling in the heart. And again, Jesus is lifting up who we're to be and how changed we're to be. Well, no swearing. Jesus says, swear not at all. And instead of the swearing and cursing, that's a part of our society. So we're going to be free from it. That's the narrow road, people. And the broad road, you better believe it. The expletives, the colorful language, it's going to be there. It's just going to be. And so there it is. It's a division. It's a divide. Well, non-resistance instead of verse 38 of chapter 5. You've heard eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, resist not evil. Turn the other cheek. That's the people of the narrow road. And definitely not the people of the broad road, where I'll have to stand my ground and I'm going to be armed to the teeth and I'm going to take you out before you can take me out. And that's the people of the broad road. And it's not who we are. It's not who we are physically, and it's not who we are spiritually either. And yeah, sure. Sometimes it feels like that can come real close to us when somebody does something really dumb in front of us on the road or whatever it might be. Those kind of things can get real close to us. Or they rip us off in business. Yeah, it's going to be okay. The people of the narrow road are willing to accept and handle that. But again, it's a worldview. It's a difference in, at the end of the day, all that I'm really concerned about is making it through this road to my destination, which is what it's all about to begin with. That's the big difference. If my focus is on it needs to all work out for me the best possibly right now, it brings a lot of pressure into working out every situation to benefit me. But if we're on the narrow road and have that mindset, then we understand that whatever, however it works out right now, it's going to be okay. Oh, so easy to say it. But it's true. That's what Jesus is teaching in here. So let's just accept that truth. Verse 41. Serve and bless instead of fighting. Serve and bless instead of fighting. The Bible talks a lot about your neighbor. So your neighbor may be your brother in the church. Your neighbor may really be your person that's right down the road from your house, right around the corner. It may be somebody you meet on the road. But we're to serve and bless instead of fighting. And so, yeah, we should not be the people who have the fight over a line property line, have a property line dispute and those kind of things. We may have that discussion. We may even have a dispute about it as we try to understand each other's point, but it's not a fight that goes on through our lives and into our children's lives. And you know the story, those kinds of things. That's not us. Serve and bless instead of fighting. Narrow road, broad road. Two different people, two different worldviews, and two different hearts, two different spirits. That's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. Well, talk about giving in chapter 6. Take heed you do not your alms before men. Giving privately. Don't pray on the street corner. Praying privately. Doesn't mean we never pray in public. But even then, can our prayer be a time when we actually focus our thoughts and express our thoughts and our feelings and our requests to God and not to be heard of men? So we discipline our mind in that, our spirit in that, and that is the difference. Again, Jesus was talking about, there's people on the broad road who are standing there and they're praying. I can't decide. I mean, I was on the road here not so long. Well, it was actually the last time I saw this was a couple years ago, but on a cold morning, I was headed to the airport down at Dallas, and I come around the corner, and there in this one little gas station there on 15, there was men out in their prayer mats along right there by the road, and they were doing their prayers. So I didn't know if I should, is that something to be respected, that they had that kind of commitment? Is that doing your prayers in the sight of all men? Well, finally Jesus is saying, it's about you and me having a relationship and doing that in secret so that you just separate yourself from that. Invest in the next life instead of this one. You'll find that in chapter 6 and verse 18. I'm sorry, that's where the fasting, we could talk about that. But 19, lay not up for yourself treasures. Again, I feel like this comes really close home to us. Upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. This is broad road, narrow road territory by all means. And our world is full of laying up treasures. It's what it's about. If it may not even be dollar bills in the bank. It's about the right vehicle, the right house, all of those things. And what can be so difficult is how close this gets to all of us because we lay things up. We do. And there's wisdom in it. There's some balance in all of this. I acknowledge that. But Jesus, a man who spoke with authority, is still speaking with authority, and we need to be real with that. We need to wrestle with that. And it did my heart good to know that a young man was talking yesterday about, well, how much money do I have wrapped up in hunting stuff? That is the right question to be asking. Now, some might still have more money wrapped up than others, but at least that is very true. That is a question that we need to wrestle with. The roads. The people on the roads, that's what we're talking about. Investing in the next life instead of this one. That's what Jesus' concern was. And so, we invest in our children. We invest in, yes, I'm just going to say we invest in eternal souls. Whether you're at a place where you have your own offspring or not, that's beside the point. The point is that we invest in the only things that are eternal. My son the other day was just out of the blue, one of those factoid moments. Do you know there's a lot of ways that we're like gorillas? Our gorillas are like us in a lot of ways. You know, it's coming straight from a book in school, I'm sure. They can feel emotions, happiness, sadness. They have fingerprints. They have... There was more things. I don't remember them all. But one thing they don't have is an eternal soul. And that's what changes everything. That's what separates us from all the rest of God's creation. That's why this message is to us. And so the point is that we're to invest in the next life instead of this one. And so we invest in each other. And so, yeah, it's not wasted. The Bible studies, the efforts that we put into each other's lives. That's narrow road stuff. That's who we should be. So God help us with that. Focus your eyes on eternal light and life instead of earthly darkness. Again, that sort of ties into what we're talking about. And then he goes on to talk about not having a lot of thought about your life and what are you going to eat and what you're going to put on and all of those things. And so, yeah, people of the narrow road, as we think about these roads, they're people who don't carry heavy burdens about tomorrow. Well, that's a whole lot easier said than done. But I think we can see the fear and the imbalance that comes out in people's lives who do not have the foundation of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so we can at least maybe look from that side to help bring us a little bit of balance. And so the broad road, for all of its glitter and glamour that is very real, and there's a lot of fear and a lot of question about the future in those people's lives as well. And the that's just, yeah, very real. And so we're not those people. Narrow road people are people who are not overly concerned about those things. They are trusting Almighty God for a host of things like that. And they're also seeing God's hand work in ways that give them faith and trust as well. Chapter 7 starts out with judging, this thing of judging. You know, the critical spirit is really found on the broad road. Very critical of each other, very judgmental. And that is because people are focused all on right now. If that's all that you're focused on, then, again, you're looking to leverage everything that you can out of life for yourself, for the moment, for the here and now. And so it's easy to become very critical and judgmental. And the people of the narrow road are people who have balance in that area because they recognize their own neediness and they've dealt with it already and they're dealing with it every day by the grace of God. And so that changes a lot of perspectives. Verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do even whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. What's that called, children? What's that verse called? I'll say it in a little simpler words. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What's it called? Do we have a term for that? Yes. The golden rule. Yep. So here it is. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. That is the people of the narrow road. And it's, I would say that there are people in the broad road who understand this, but they understand it in the context of this is how I still get the most for myself, by creating that kind of environment around me. And that's a tool that's used. Philosophy has taught that, but it's also the truth of God's word. And so for those of us on the narrow road, we want to do to others as we would have them do to ourselves. And that makes it changes us, changes a lot of things. It seems that Jesus, the master teacher, was bringing this long sermon to a close as we get back here to verse 13 and verse 14 by using the common and visual example of the roads. They may have been sitting beside a broad road, right where a small road went off. It's very possible. And he used that. The Broadway, the super highway, it gets you somewhere fast. We like those kinds of roads. It's the interstate, or it's the footpath with the crucifixion of the flesh. That's the two ways. It hasn't changed. Jesus, his word still stands today. He's bringing that to us today. Laying down the things that our flesh loves. And so I've already alluded to this some, but I'd like to just come back to this. Because of the ease of our times physically, may I suggest that we have the greater danger and challenge today because of this battle of the flesh. We don't know a lot about the difficulties of the narrow road. There is a good vehicle sitting right here. I had a wonderful night of sleep on a very soft bed. Because of our resources, we generally have good health because we can address the smallest thing when it comes along. At home, I can smell it already. There is food and there is an abundance. We have a stable country. We're living in a soft time, and we're generally looked at as people who are godly people and good to do business with, good to relate with, somebody who's said hello with respect to in the marketplace. That's generally who we are. That is a unique situation, and it causes us, it really makes it harder for us to understand and divide, I would suggest, between the narrow road and the broad way, because we're receiving so many broad blessings. There just is a lot of thousands of years before us where, as I understand with my limited understanding of history, that people struggled very hard. Life was very difficult to begin with. And then their choice for the narrow road made it very distinctly clear where they were at. There really wasn't much to be had except for the eternal. And we just have so much that flows our way right now, we have a hard time keeping our eye on the eternal. But that's what Jesus was teaching here. Just so you know, there's a narrow road, there's a broad way, and they have two different destinations. Jesus specifically and carefully, clearly and unequivocally teaches us in this sermon that there are two roads that lead to two different rewards. And so let's get that clear in our minds. So the destinations here, will be very brief with this. What is life and what is destruction? What is life and what is destruction? That's the two ends of the roads that Jesus talks about. Life that Jesus is talking about here is eternal life, eternal bliss, that which is outside of this life. I believe that's primarily what Jesus was talking about. However, narrow road life brings along with it blessings as well. It brings along with it light. I care about that word a lot. It brings light out of darkness. It brings life today. We have spiritual blessings that those who are on the broad road don't have. We have hope. We have peace. We have rest. But primarily what the narrow road is about the eternal reward, the eternal bliss, and that is in the presence of God, away from the distractions of this world. And he says in verse 13, the narrow road leads to destruction. What is destruction? Jesus talked about that in chapter 5 in verse 22, where he very specifically says at the end of verse 22, thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Not just hell, but hell fire. A description of what hell is. It's actually torment, it is destruction, and it's eternal. Jesus did not go around that. Chapter 7, verse 19, right here below these verses. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So again, we're talking about destruction. That's the destination. Two gates, two roads, two destinations. Eternal bliss or eternal destruction, eternal misery, darkness, hopelessness, turmoil, destruction. That's the end of the broad road. And so the commitment to have all that this life has to offer, the price that's paid is eternal destruction. That's what Jesus said and hasn't changed. And so finally, we come to the last point, your choice. Bible tells us at one place, choose you this day whom ye will serve. I believe that was Joshua as he spoke to the children of Israel. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth. Your choice hasn't changed. Your choice. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This truth hasn't changed either. Nobody can take it from you, and the choice remains personal, but it needs to be done. To not decide is to decide not to. Do you understand? It's a choice. And that choice rests with each one of us. This is the truth. This is the black and white that God brought to us through Jesus Christ. And so it should sober us. It sobers me. And it should also put a little bit of extra back, a little bit of extra stiffness in our back as we recognize that, yes, this narrow road, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay for us to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's going to be okay to do that. We should expect it. We should embrace it because there is an eternal reward. Jesus said it. I believe it. Or we can turn. We can just keep reaching out. We can keep dabbling in. And we can get siphoned over into that broad road. And we will receive our eternal reward there as well. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow down here before you this morning. Thank you for your word, O God, and how this message was brought to us a couple of thousand years ago, but it speaks to us today. And O God, I pray you'd help us to understand the choices and the two roads before us as we go from this place and as we face our lives. And I pray you'd help any of us for where we've backslidden or where we've moved away from our commitment to the narrow road because we've just liked the appearance and the feel and the taste of the broad road. And so I pray you'd help us to turn from that, to repent of that. Lord, you know better than us that we live in a world where there is a deceptive intent to just gray everything out and to just color everything with, does it really matter? And as long as you believe, as long as you say the right words, I pray you'd help us to understand that deception. I pray you'd help us to continue to make choices to develop the spiritual fruit and the physical fruit of narrow road people. Help us to embrace this journey and to love it because we're walking with you. And I pray you'd help us to see beyond today, to tomorrow, to the future, to the eternal abode of the soul. Help us to understand that again this morning. Be convinced of its truth. And so, again, we do pray that you would work in our hearts as only you can. May your Spirit accomplish its work. And may you receive the honor and glory. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.